When I first got into this, I was a keyboard junkie, man. I was fucking, I learned everything. I read absolutely everything. I wanted to know all the openers before I even opened my mouth, all right? And I needed routines, I needed these lines, I needed to have every single scenario mapped out. I found an old cheat sheet from about 2006, when we were Mystery Method. I don't know if you guys know the Mystery Method. We had A1, A2, A3, C1, C2, C3, you know, and that whole thing mapped out and routines for every single phase. So we had all the scenarios mapped out, and it was too much. It's overload. It's absolute overload. And so now my focus is how to simplify things and how to bring out the best in each individual so that you can function as... The way I like to look at it is like we've got product and marketing, okay? First and foremost, I start with developing the product or realizing what your product is, all your strengths, all your weaknesses, all your good attributes, all your features and all your benefits, okay? Then, you know, a lot of guys, we work on the product. We go and get good jobs. We go and educate ourselves. We go and, you know, learn new skills. But very rarely do I meet guys who are good at marketing that product, okay? And so you need to do both. You need to continually work on your product, continually work on your skills, on your conversational skills, on how you interact with women, on your confidence, on your knowledge of this stuff, the actual knowledge. But then you also have to work on how you present yourself, on your marketing, whether it is your appearance, you know, your sense of fashion, whether it's your body language and your voice tonality, okay? These things all come under marketing, okay? But like I said, I started in 2006. I'm an actor by profession as well. And when I first got into this, there was stuff in the community, but it was... I went into this community called the London Seduction Society, which is the biggest, the LSS, which is the biggest leer in the world in terms of its members. And I'll be honest, man, there's some fucking weirdos in there. Like, we did some strange shit back in the day. Just some things that were classed as, you know, for an industry that was geared towards being socially calibrated. A lot of the exercises that we did in the beginning weren't very socially calibrated. They were just weird. But we learned a lot. And so I joined Love Systems in 2007, I believe it was. It's like a fucking blur now. It was a long time ago. And if I was going to try and dial it down to the most important things, we'll probably talk about this kind of stuff anyway. But if I was going to dial it down to the most important things, where I am in my life now and how I teach people and what I've realized about this thing, I've got this tattooed on my arm, which is existing truth, okay? The minute, or the more that you can hone down to what your truth is, to what it is that it means to be a man, what it means, what your desires are as a man, I mean your individual desires. It's very easy to start reading a lot of shit on the internet, reading books by guys who haven't practiced this stuff, who haven't been in the trenches. I've been in the fucking trenches. Like, I've got the scars. I've had the tears. There were times when I'd go back from, you know, go back home from, there's an area. Who's been to London before? All right, you know Leicester Square? All right, Leicester Square is like the pickup capital of the world. It's probably per capita, probably the hardest place in the world to pick up because you've got, not only do you have a shit ton of pickup artists, I hate the word pickup artists, but pickup artists, you've also got charity muggers, so the people trying to get people to, you know, sign up for these different charities. You've also got club promoters trying to hustle people in. It's just tough. And then you've got the kind of English, the skepticism, which is don't talk to strangers, you know, keep your heads down, keep a frown on your face. It's a really tough domain. And so there'll be nights when, you know, when in the beginning when I just didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I just didn't get it. I didn't get women. I didn't know why I would talk to someone and I thought it was going well, and then they just walk off and be like, what the fuck? What's going on? All right. And so I've been through the phases, and not only that, through my teaching career, there's probably not many things that will come up you know, some of your challenges that will come up that I haven't seen in clients, that I haven't been through myself, or that I, you know, that my fellow instructors haven't been through, and that we've talked about. Okay, so exist in truth. Always start from truth. Okay, and what I mean by that is anytime I hit a roadblock, which is action or inaction. Whenever I'm faced with action or inaction, I always want to choose action. But I always want to choose truth. Where am I in any point in time? If I'm stuck, I'm standing there, and I see a woman who I'm attracted to, what is my truth? Where do I feel? Where do I feel the tension in my body? Where do I feel the restriction? What stops me from making that approach? What exactly stops you from making that approach when you want to? Okay. If you don't know what that is right now, you'll never be able to overcome it. Okay. On your own. The advantage of going to a boot camp, of course, is that you've got instructors who push you and make shit happen. That's what you pay instructors for, right? But if you're not going to a boot camp, then you need to be able to self-analyze. You've got to self-analyze yourself, okay? And so the first thing that I do is just stop and go, where's my truth? Where am I at? Where am I? She's gorgeous. I want to talk to her. Why am I not talking to her? Okay? First things first. Yeah? And you wanna demystify your mind. You wanna make sure that you've got every single fucking reason that you don't approach. You wanna make sure you've got that shit mapped out. You know, you want every excuse mapped out. Okay? Don't leave your mind as some kind of mystery. It's really not that. There are habits that we fall into that stop us from doing things, and that's it. If you wake up, you brush your teeth in the morning, you comb your hair, you take a shower. That's a routine, it's a habit. If you make your bed, I remember when I was first learning about habits, the first habit that, when I was younger, first habit that I wanted to form was to jump out of bed and make my bed. It was something as simple as that, because I never used to make my bed. And so the night never felt like it ended, and I never started my day strong. First thing I did, all right, new habit, fuck. Get out of bed, okay, shit, can't really be bothered to do this, but let me just do it anyway and make it. Done. Okay, kept doing that. 21 days, form a new habit, boom. Now, I don't even have to think about it. I jump out of bed, I make the bed. Okay, so it's about new habits. It's about new habits. And chances are you've fallen into a habitual pattern, which is see woman, avoid woman. Okay, we want to change that habitual pattern to see woman, approach woman. Yeah, there are gradient steps between that. Okay, so should we go back on to...
It's up to you.
I'll quickly finish this thread, and then we'll move on to questions. So a couple of steps. Who's got something that they know? What goes through your head when you see a woman that you want to approach and you don't? What are some of the things? Just spit them out. You don't know you've got something.
Me?
Yeah.
I would say I'm not ready yet.
Okay. All right. That's good. Okay. Now, have you written that down?
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, so the excuses. You don't have to share these, but if you do share them, it will help you, okay? And it helps everyone else as well. This room is a room of trust. This is a room of guys who are all going through the same things. I've been through it, you know. David's been through it as well, you know. So this is a room that the more we share in this room and in this environment, the more that we learn and the more that we grow together. Yeah. So you're not ready. Why are you not ready? What sort of things, in what way are you not prepared?
Sometimes a lot of excuses like, I haven't showered yet, I showered up from work, haven't warmed up, I haven't got the right shoes, the right underwear on.
All right, I want you to list them all down. See, the first, it's like an AA meeting, right? Like, the first step is, what's that?
Admitting,
exactly, is admitting. But it's, it, you know, in this context, the first step is demystifying and saying, so that it's no longer something that's just in your head. It's not just bubbling around in your head. It's like, okay, this is my bullshit. This is my personal bullshit. This is what I feed myself. Okay, we're men. You can't bullshit yourself anymore. If you want to start moving forward and making shit happen, you can't bullshit yourself anymore. That's the first step, which is truth. That's where it starts. No more bullshit. Just make that commitment. Just put your hands up in the air. One, right hand in the air. I solemnly swear.
I solemnly swear.
To stop bullshitting myself. All right, good. You made the oath. The fucking, that's it. It's done. You can all leave. Convert it. No. So I just want everyone to do that. Just for the next couple of minutes, I just want you to write down your personal bullshit. What is it? Yeah? You see that woman that you want, write down your personal bullshit. What stops you? What stops you? Next stage that you start to do is to, one, make sure that you deal with anything that can be dealt with. So let's say, always leave your house prepared. Always leave your house prepared. Shower before you go out. If that's just make sure you shower. If you're going out to the shop, if this is one of your sticking points. Some people, personally, the best thing is to be able to say, look, man, I smell like arse, I haven't shaved, I haven't even brushed my teeth, I don't give a fuck, I'm still going to approach. That's the best place to be. That's the best place to be. All right, because then there are no excuses. Okay, so anything that you feel is a crutch, challenge it. If you feel, oh, I can't approach her because I'm not dressed up the way that I need to be dressed up, you want to challenge that. You always want to challenge that. You never want to be dependent on a certain method or a certain approach to this thing. You want to be as fluid and as flexible as possible. Yeah. All right, let's move forward. We'll come back to this stuff as well. Yeah.
Great. Okay, cool. So I realized we didn't actually give Versetti, a proper warm welcome. So let's welcome Versetti to Singapore. So we're very happy and honored to have you here. Just as the alpha he is naturally, just took over and just took charge of things. That was awesome. So we've already got you writing down some notes, so this is a good way to go. So we have prepared like our usual get-to-know Versetti questions. So we've gotten to know some of his journey through the social arts. And wanted to ask you about the major turning points in your development, because a lot of these guys... the common experience is they learn a bunch of stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
They try it a little bit.
Yeah.
Usually like one or two openers. It doesn't work, then they give up.
Yeah.
And then they wait 3 or 4 months. Eventually their lives suck again.
Mm-hmm.
So they try another week, and it still doesn't go well. So they give that up, and then they go back to their the rut in their lives. So what were the turning points that led you away from what most guys experience to achieve what you have now?
I think there's a few things. One was my initial commitment that I said, failure's not an option. Like, however long it takes, I'm going to master this shit, because the reality is I'm going to be here for however long I'm on this planet, whatever. I love women. I want women in my life. So what are the other options? There's no other option. I can't not learn this stuff, because I'm going to be here. There will always be women. I need women. It's a no-brainer. So I didn't see this as something that I could just dip into.
Mm.
Just something to try. Let's try to pick up stuff for a little bit. No, this is one of the most integral parts of my life. Do you know what I mean? The having women in your life as a man is one of the most important parts of your life. You know, if you look at the three rungs, if you see you've got health, wealth, and relationships, okay? You've got your family and your friends, and then you've got the women that you date, okay? You've got the women that you date. And so that was a major thing, the commitment and the mindset that was, there's no two ways about it. There are no other options. It's learn this stuff and master it, or what else is there? I'm not going to live a pussyless existence.
Now, did you ever have a comfort zone? Like, so I know a lot of guys have their day-to-day life. They got their job. Mm. Then they go home to mom. Okay, so that's something I mentioned to you, right? Yeah. So until they're 35, they're with mom.
Fuck.
And mom makes their food and does their laundry. And so they're in their comfort zone.
Yeah.
So what were you ever out... Like, what... Was there anything going on in your life that forced you to... get outside of your comfort zone on a day-to-day basis? Or were there habits that you instilled to force yourself to do that?
Yeah, I think... So the second part of the turning point was meeting good wings. like other people who were in the, you know, in the community that were, and I had to go through a few people. The journey's been a long one, and so there were guys that came into my life that weren't as, they didn't have the kind of positive influence on my life that the later friends or the friends that survived to this point now have had in my life. You know, but having good people, having good wings that you challenge and you push each other, there's nothing better than that. There's absolutely nothing better than that. People that are striving for the same level of excellence that you want to attain.
Right.
Massive. That's probably the most important thing were the people, the friends that I had. It was an exciting time. Like when we first started learning this, my friends like Mr. M, Love Systems 5.0, Love Systems, Dax, Braddock, Sheriff at the time. In the beginning, a guy called Adam Lyons. We first started, when we first started out, it was an exciting time, and we developed this company called Project Entourage, and we were going out and we were doing this. It was like events hosting, and so we designed our lifestyle to master this shit. What I mean with a lot of guys is that they're not willing to make the necessary changes in order to become experts. If you don't have the type of woman in your life that you want, then you need to make a massive change. And so you have to ask yourself, what is more important? Is it more important to stay on the path that I'm on, or is it more important to learn this skill set and have this as part of my life? Because chances are, you know, and we spoke about this, if you're living at home with your mum, and I'm very aware of the fact that the culture is different over here. I get that. I completely get it. But there are ways. We were talking about this, whether it's a house share with friends instead of staying with parents. So, you know, whether it means, okay, now I'm not saving as much money, but I've got my independence and now I'm able to grow as a man and think independently and have women over. Do you know what I mean? That's a comfort zone. If you're at home and things are done for you, you'll never develop into the type of man that you need to develop into, or it's gonna happen later on in life. There are societies in the world where kids get taken away from their mum at 13, taken out into the woods or into the forest or the jungle. They get their foreskin cut, and then they come back. They hunt, they kill, and they come back men, and they're not treated the same way again by the women in the village.
It's called NS.
National service. Yeah, do you know what I mean? But that's an initiation process, and I think that what has happened, over the past few years in terms of our society is that initiation process has been taken away, and so men stay boys for longer. Okay, and if you want good women in your life, you have to be that kind of. You have to be the masculine force in their life if you want a feminine woman. That's what's necessary. That polarity is necessary for a healthy relationship. And so that's the comfort zone. So it's figuring out where your comfort zones are. You know, if it's hindering you, if that's something that's stopping you, I remember when I was living with my mum when I came out of drama school, and it just meant that I didn't feel comfortable bringing the girls home. So when I was going out to clubs, was it messing with my same night lay game? You know, quote unquote same night lay game? Of course it was, because suddenly when I'm thinking about pulling, I'm going, shit man, I've got to take it back to my mum's house.
Oh, yeah, and then you're thinking about mom.
Yeah, immediately. Don't look dying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to sort that out. You got to sort it out. It's a comfort zone. So I have to step out of that and go, right, I need to make more money because I need to pay rent. Right, I need to step out of the house. I need to go and live with some cool guys and stuff like that. The best time that I've had is when I lived with women. That was the best time. I was living with three women, and that was just incredible. You just learned so much from being around women all the time. That's another thing. If you don't have female friends in your life, get them. That was another major turning point when I was meeting women that I wasn't sleeping with. that I was building good friendships with, right? Developing good friendships. So we'll go to lunch, or we'll go to dinner together, we'll go out for drinks, they'll come out to party with us and that kind of stuff, and we'll have awesome female friends around us. It changes you as a man when you've got women in your life, that feminine energy. It's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So one of the things I notice about guys who are at a intermediate level
mm-hmm.
is that they figured out the wings thing, so they have this accountability
mm.
built into it. So if they don't feel like going out, at least one of their group of four or five guys is going to start kicking their butts
yeah.
and like, hey, let's go out.
Yeah.
And they all push each other. Or as I had mentors who just kept pinging me by email or text, like, you better be out right now, even though we were in totally different parts of the world. And that just kept me accountable. But then after you reach a certain point, you've developed these habits of going out.
Yeah.
So it's just like working out at the gym. You start to miss it if a regular part of your day is missing, you know? So after that point, what I notice is a mark of a guy who's gone beyond that intermediate level is when his whole lifestyle is just surrounded by women.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't mm-hmm. actually have that many guy friends anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like he goes out for lunch with a girl, you know, and it's just not like they're having sex like you're saying. They're just female friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just part of either his lifestyle is designed either in his job, like he's working in a model agency or something,
mm-hmm.
or he's working at a club as a promoter, or he's just decided that, like I did, I didn't really have any kind of job that brought women to me, and philosophy wasn't really a big draw for girls. But like, I had two sisters, and I missed having sisters.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on my own, they're on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And I just had surrogate sisters, you know, like, I'm going to treat you like my sister, and it was great. And then I just kept doing that for more and more hot girls, like models and all that. And that was this sort of like the next level.
Yeah.
So in the Ordaining Academy, for the guys who are in it, one of the reasons we have a progression is to take you that way, right? So that eventually at the two highest levels, your lifestyle will be about hanging out with girls. So if you go to clubbing, it'll be you and five girls or something instead of you and 10 dudes, you know, like you see at the beginner level.
Yeah.
So how old are you right now?
30.
You're 30.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you've traveled all over? It seems like you're based in LA now,
mm-hmm.
but you grew up in London.
Yeah. Grew up in London. I've gone all over. I've gone all over actually. Yeah. That's the joy of teaching programs, is that you get to travel a lot, which is why I kind of got into it in the first place. It was an opportunity to travel and to I love coaching. I love working with guys and seeing them come in one way and then leaving another way. I think. One of the most fulfilling things is helping someone develop their full potential, you know, or release their full potential and change their lives. It is. When I get emails back from guys that you know, they talk about the things that they're doing now, and not just the women that they're dating, but how their life is, how their business increases by the way, you know, by the way that they conduct themselves and the increasing confidence, or whether it's the body language or how they present themselves, how men start treating them differently as well. These things are very rewarding. Go on.
So through your years of coaching, what are the three biggest factors that determine whether a guy succeeds?
Action.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. If I was to I'll say that in jest, but I guarantee you, if you gave me one guy who hasn't read anything, and you gave me one guy who was the fucking expert who never been out, and I took this guy who didn't know anything, and I said, right, I just want you to approach 100 women. I just want you to approach 100 women and just talk. And he went, all right, I don't know what the fuck I'm saying, well, I'm just going to do it. And he just kept approaching. I guarantee you, over the course of a weekend, you'll see the difference in because obviously if a guy's not approaching at all, he's never going to improve. Whereas if you've got someone who doesn't really know that much, but he's willing to approach, he will learn in field. That's the best place to learn, is in field. The reference experiences are the most important things. To seek reference experiences. If you know, I get guys who, like, they'll come on a boot camp. I ask them, I say, you know, so why are you here? What do you want? And I can always tell someone's level or when they're kind of a level of naivety when they go, oh, yeah, you know, I want to date tens, or I want these models. I'm saying, well, how many girls are you approaching at the moment? Or, you know, what type of girls are you, what kind of girls are you dating? Oh, well, you know, like sixes and that. So you want to go from 6 to 10, just like that. Okay. And you're not approaching anyone. Okay, yeah, not going to happen. Right? It's not going to happen. You need the reference experience. If you don't have the reference experience of dealing with tens, of dating tens, I guarantee you when a 10 comes into your life, you're not going to have the necessary knowledge to develop a relationship with her or how to win her in the first place. Okay, so it's always about seeking reference experiences. You have to get out there and feel it. The reason why I'm effective in a club is because I've been in the club thousands of times. It's like my second home. I'm so comfortable there. It surprises me sometimes. I'm like, yeah, this is like home. I'm just sitting down and taking shit here, man. Sorry. I wouldn't do that. That's not game. That's not good game. But I just laid it out right now. But it's that because I've been in there so many times, it's just home. I don't get anxiety when I go in the club. When I used to. I'd see. You can always tell again when someone's got the reference of dating hot women, because what happens? As soon as you see a hot girl, the head's like, everyone snaps and the body starts to respond like you've never had it before. And women sense this stuff. They sense it immediately. Okay, they can tell if you dated a girl like her. Yeah. What was the question? I can't remember.
So you were saying action.
Yeah. All right. So action. That's number one. It's always number one. Okay. Taking action. Second would be speed of implementation. Speed of implementation. So, how many of you, took what I said in terms of figuring out what your sticking point is, what the mental process is? How many said, that is something I need to do as soon as I leave this fucking room? Okay, that's speed of implementation, doing it immediately. Okay, picking up a new piece of knowledge and applying it. Not just reading something in a book and then sitting on it, okay, I've got to process that, let that sink into my body. No, it's like, oh, that line's fucking cool. I'm going to go and use it. Hey, doing it immediately. The guys I've seen get the best, the quickest, are the ones that implement immediately. My friend Mr. M was just fantastic at doing that. He would just get an idea and just go, or you hear something, and go, I'm going to try that. And then do it immediately. Speed of implementation. And then third, I'd say, God damn it, I hate boiling things down to threes.
Two is fine.
No. I'm saying there's so many moving parts in this. So action, speed of implementation, which kind of ties into action, but we'll use it anyway. And I'd say your ability to assess yourself after the fact. So journaling. My journal was so important. It was so important. I cannot tell you. Sticking point analysis is so important. Okay? If you can't tell me where you are and what you're getting stuck with, I guarantee you're not moving forward. Okay? So I'd go out and at the end of the night, come back, analyze all my sets that I did and rerun it in my brain. And there was a visualization thing that I would do where I would, if something messed up, I would rerun that set and go, why did that mess up? Right to the point where it ended, or through the whole thing, what did I say that I shouldn't have said? What did I do that I shouldn't have done? Did I touch enough? Did I move her? You know, did I tease? Was I playful enough? Was I sexual enough? All these little things that I'd go through and analyze a set, and then I'd rerun it, use my imagination, my visualization, to rerun it perfectly. To rerun it perfectly and move it forward a few steps to where it finished. How would I move it forward? Yeah? But that's sticking point analysis. Where are you getting stuck? What is the immediate thing that you do in order to move past there? Okay? And that's it. And that's all you focus on. You don't need to start reading about... What the fuck is that? No need to start reading about LMR if you're not even opening. Does anyone know what LMR is? Last minute resistance. If I use any lingo or slang, I'll try not to. But if I use any of that kind of stuff that you don't know, just say, what is that? But yeah, focus on the immediate. What's the immediate sticking point?
So let me go back to what you started at, and then you ended there with the three things that make the difference. So action, speed of implementation, the ability to assess after.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Now, here is the problem, let's say, one of the joys I have of coaching guys who've traveled a lot, like yourself, like myself, and they have achieved a certain level of independence, is that when you say, hey, go take action, they go, oh, okay, I got to take action. And they go and take action, right? And then that's the speed of implementation as well. When you give them a piece of advice, you say, do it tonight.
Yeah.
They say, okay, I'll go do it tonight. So what I've discovered is when people are when I'm the first stop in their journey to get out of their comfort zones, then I'm the first one who's really pushing them out of that. Like, so then it becomes like they ask me, well, how? See, this is the question I keep getting, and I just don't understand it. Like, take action, but how? You know, you ever get, like, they give me second and third order questions that shouldn't be there. I mean, like, it's sort of like saying, I say, eat more oatmeal.
Yeah.
They say, how? What?
Yeah.
You take it in the spoon, you put it in your mouth, can you believe that? So one of the things you said earlier was habits. You were talking about these habits that you formed that over time created the way that you are. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways to get guys to take action, speed of implementation, and to journal on a regular basis is to have it develop as a habit, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there ways that you saw in your own life where you were able to turn these tasks that at the beginning were difficult into habits? Are there any tips that you can give a guy just on that you can use this week to start actually implementing our advice? Like, go out, you know, to meet girls.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those things. I mean, I can't believe that so many of you fuckers put your hands up because you're not going out. I want to come all over here, I'll slap you all in the fucking face. Because my job is to make sure some of you aren't in the academy, but the ones who are, you put your hands up because you're not going out. That's embarrassing. And you should be embarrassed. But you're like, oh, I'm in my comfort zone. So what are some things they can do this week to actually take action?
All right. Okay, so, I mean, I call it small chunking. That's the first thing. Start where you are. Start where you are. So it's not rocket science. It's really not rocket science. So you go, okay, I want to start approaching. What do I need to do in order to approach? Let's say we've got approach here. Okay. What do I need in order to approach? What do I need? What are some of the things that we need?
Start moving.
Okay, but before that, if you want to approach and you want a lot of, you know, volumes, what do you need?
Go out.
You need to go out. You need to go out. How many of you are actually going out? One, two, three. Okay, so we've got a few that are actually going out. So that is the first. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you're not actually going out, you're never going to meet women. let's break it down. Like, you guys, I just by looking at you, I can see that you guys are smart guys, right? But the reality is, if you're not going out, let everyone say it. If I'm not going out, I'm never going to meet women. Can you just repeat that, please? If I'm not going out, I'm never going to meet women. And we laugh because it's so simple and silly, right? But it's amazing how many guys don't realize that you have to structure your life so that you're going, how quick do you want to get good at this stuff? When I was learning this, I was out 4 to 5 nights a week. 4 to 5 nights a week. Okay, every night that was hot in London, I was out doing that. Okay, if you can't do that, you're not going to get as good. You're not going to get as good as me. You're not going to get as good as quick as me. Okay, that's just reality. It's just about time in the fucking field. So, first things first. When am I going out? Make a commitment to yourself. Say, if it's Saturday and Sunday, if it's Friday and Saturday, It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday that I'm going out every single week. That is my scheduled hours to go out and meet women. First things first. Okay? If you're not doing that, you might as well pack your books up and get the fuck out. Give up. Cut your balls off. Go and give them to someone that needs them. Does everyone get that? I know it sounds very simple, but it needs to be, because it is that simple. If you're not structuring your life in a way that is geared towards you becoming successful, you're never going to become successful. Okay? So when are you going out? If you don't have wings, you've got a room full of guys who want to go out. Talk, network, meet people. Say, hey, dude, what area are you from? Like, what sort of clubs are you into? What sort of women are you into? Whatever. At this point in time, it doesn't even matter what type of women you're into. It just it doesn't even matter. I really couldn't give a fuck. They could be cave trolls. It really doesn't matter. The most important thing is that you start getting out and talking to women. That's all that matters, okay? So when? Right? And then you can start to think about the things like, how many approaches am I going to make tonight? So I recommend, let's say you go out from 10 till 2. That's 4 hours. Let's say you did 4 sets every hour. How many, what's that, 16 sets a night? Something like that? Yeah, 16 sets a night?
Yeah.
Basic maths, you guys are smart ones. Come on, I just look good. That's all good. No, but do you know what I mean? Like, you can calculate how many you're going to do. So let's say you're going to do 4 sets a night. I mean, it's not 4 sets a night, 4 sets an hour. Yes.
When you say 4 sets an hour, right? Mm-hmm. Would that be the expectation that 4 sets that you're actually sexually interested, or is it any 4 sets of random?
It depends on your level. If you are not someone who's going out regularly, then the focus is not to get laid. The focus is never. I don't go out to get laid anymore. That's a lie. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. I'm like, I lied to you. Sorry. No, there are times when my focus is, I'm getting laid tonight. That's the focus. Right? It just is how it is. Right? But it's a very, very specific style of game that I run when I'm in that mode, because I'm very sexual. I'm very direct. And kind of overtly sexual, because I'm filtering out, I'm weeding out girls who aren't down for that night. Okay, that's a very specific way of doing it. I don't do that every single night. And when I was learning this, the best way to go out is to go out to have a fucking blast, to have fun, to bring the fun, and to increase everyone's night, to have fun with your mates, to meet cool people. I said people, not just women, men and women, to meet cool people. Okay, that's the best mindset to go out with. So what was your question again? My brain side.
I think you answered it already.
Yeah? All right, there we go. Cool. all right, so when? Where am I going? Where are you going? My advice is this. Like I said to you, I'm very comfortable in clubs now. I say clubs because... I've been all around the world, and I've been to all the clubs in, like, most of the hot clubs in the hot countries in the world. I've been there, okay? And so my body has seen the patterns that these clubs have. And they're not very different when you go around the world. There's just similar things. You got hot girls, not in every country in the world. but for the most part, in the best clubs, you got hot girls to varying degrees. You got loud music, you got alcohol, you've got some drunk girls, you got some sober girls, you got some drunk guys, you got some sober guys. You got some guys that kind of stand on the wall, like the wallflower, with a drink in front of their chest, wishing that they could talk to girls. You got some of those guys. You got some guys who are drunk and wasted and stumbling around and being overly, you know, aggressive with girls and getting blown up. And you've got some guys who are having success. Like, but you're going to see that in whatever country you go to. Do you know what I mean? It's the same fucking thing. And so my body's desensitized to that, okay? But when I first started, and I still do this when I'm sat in a certain city for long enough, like in LA, we get a prize venue. Okay? The prize, that's how you spell it. Prize venue. Okay? And so you might pick two or three of these. You might pick two or three. Healer. Am I spelling? Fuck you, dude. but you might pick two. Or, I'm joking. Oh, don't get offended. No, you can take it. But so you might pick two or three prize venues, and what I mean by that, these are places that you frequent regularly, and what starts to happen is it becomes like your back garden. It becomes like your bedroom. It becomes like the place where you could, you know, theoretically take a dump. But your body starts to get used to it. And so it's no longer scary. So you're no longer having to fight against, oh, fuck, this is a new place. Because your body seizes up against that. Yeah? So pick two or three. What you're also going to start to do is you're going to start to get to know the bouncers. Security. You're going to start to get to know the bar staff. The hot waitresses. Okay? It becomes somewhere that you are a regular. And they know you, and you're a cool guy, and you can have a little conversation with the waiters. And suddenly, when you're talking to a girl, and you just go, "Hey, John, how you doing, man?" And that's the manager of the bar, and she goes, "Who is this guy? How does he know the manager?" Do you see how this starts to work? Yeah? So pick your prize venue. When am I going out? Where am I going? The two key things that will start to help you take action. Yeah? And then how many sets am I doing? I'm just going to set yourself the target. Obviously, if you're in a conversation and it's going really well and you think, oh no, I've been talking to this girl for an hour and now we're making out, but it means I've only done one set this hour, I'm going to leave her now. No, that's not the plan. All right, it's not the plan. But as a rough estimate, how many are you going to do? If you opened once and you got blown out and you sit there cowering in the corner for the rest of the night, that's not the plan either. You know you've got to bounce and you've got to do more, yeah? A good tip that I had for we mentioned it, accountability, is getting leverage on yourself, okay? Getting leverage on yourself. And you can do that. What I used to do is, if there were no particular times when I was working on a new skill set or working on opening, I'd give money. If I, give money over to a friend of mine, say, for every set that I do, give me back a certain amount. Okay, so if I've got 10 sets to do and I give him, £100 or whatever, then every time I do a set, I get £10 back. Yeah? There's one thing I hate more than fear of approach, and that's losing money. So that was leverage on me. But you have to figure out what your leverage is. You have to figure out what your leverage is. You've got to make it something that is actually effective for you. If you're a millionaire and you give someone $100, that's not going to do anything in terms of leverage for you. Okay? So you might need something else. You might have to say, if I don't do this, you can punch me in my arm. Or you can punch me in the stomach. You get a free shot in the stomach. That's pain leverage. Okay? Pain leverage. Whatever it takes. You've got to do whatever it fucking takes to start taking action. Whatever it takes. Yeah? So when, where, how? That kind of set the foundation for it?
Yeah, that was really great. So I want to get to the questions, but I have my own question that I wanted to ask you and I wouldn't get on the table. So a big part of me becoming naturally attractive was internalizing the thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
And as an Asian or Asian Canadian, raised in a Confucian household, I was taught to not to show my feelings, to repress them, and to not speak up, and to follow the rules and all that.
Oh God! So I've been fighting against that while I've been here, man.
Oh yeah.
Oh dude, fuck. Wow. Yeah, we're going.
Fascinating, because you've only been here like a few weeks.
Yeah.
And you've already felt it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm working with Singaporeans, and so. That is one of the things that comes up a lot is, okay, we need you here at this time and we need you to do this. And I'm saying, well, I need this and this is how I do my thing. And so if we can't come to a compromise, then I'm gonna do this,
right?
And you will have to adapt.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean? And so, and so, it's been a bit of a battle, but sorry, but carry on.
So, taking that attitude and just focusing on the emotional part of it, looking at acting and seeing how, and so you know like a billion times more about acting than I did, which is why I want to give you this question. Recently, I finished Arnold Schwarzenegger's Total Recall, and there's a section on in the book that's fascinating to me when he decided to go from bodybuilding into acting. Actually, he started really doing bodybuilding in order to become an actor in Hollywood, which is really interesting too, just having the whole planning of
that. Yeah.
But then when he made that switch, he said that in bodybuilding, he had to sublimate his emotions. So on stage, you couldn't let anything bother him. They're all going to shit talk each other in the back room before you go on stage. Now, it's not even going to bother him. But then in acting, he had to learn to explore his feelings, to let it all out, to actually, when he felt something, to actually explore it some more, like to delve into it. So I wanted to ask a big question, but just to like focus it. So the big question is, how did acting help you in this journey? And the more focused part of that, I guess, is like in terms of emotions or emotional expression or emotional intelligence. Did it play a part in your journey? Or
Short answer is yes. I guess the ways it's kind of helped enormously was, I'm thinking about it retrospectively now, my listening skills when it comes to being one-to-one with a woman, being able to listen and dial into how she's feeling, that kind of stuff, which was weird at first, because when I first got into the community, a massive, I guess one of the main kind of threads or pieces of advice was to be unreactive. Has anyone come across that yet? They say be emotionally unreactive, and it's misleading. It's misleading. You don't want to be someone who you get blown out and you go, you get a good reaction, you go, yay. You don't want to be on that emotional roller coaster. You need to be in as much control of your, you need to be in command of your emotions. Rather than not having the emotion at all, you have to have developed them so that you're in command of them. You can manage and handle your emotions, okay? You want the woman on that emotional roller coaster. You want to be able to take her on the emotional roller coaster and not go on it yourself necessarily. But to be able to dial in when you're storytelling, to be able to dial into your emotions, or to be able to have empathy, you know, to sense where she is and to communicate with her, you need emotions. And a lot of guys, I see them, they're just dead emotionally, and they can't vary their voice, and they can't dial into the emotion when they're telling a story, and they can't relate to where she's, what she's feeling, how she's feeling. It's about listening and responding. Okay, and so acting does help with that. It's definitely helped with body language and my presentation.
Like one, I think it's because you were an actor before, so it's always been a part of you. And when you have like, so it's almost like a natural advantage because you see things in a certain way. When I had to learn to take on a character, like for seduction, you know, the whole idea of characters. First was introduced to me by The Art of Seduction, that book. I'm like, wow, you can actually
have a
certain, do one character and then the next day do another. You know, on one date do one, and the other date do another. And I was looking for actors, basically movies, in examples of a rake or examples of a charmer or example of a charismatic, and looking at their body language, their cadence, their speech, and then just trying to basically copy them. And then what I noticed was if I took it on the outside, the exterior representation of it, I started to feel,
on the inside.
Like, so this is what it feels like to be Hitler or something, you know? A badass guy, like, oh, okay, get used to this. And then the other one's like, oh, this is what it feels like to be a slimy, you know, guy who just wants to get it in there.
But it's good, but it's necessary to play with that kind of stuff, to go out and say, you know, I'm going to be, I don't know if you've seen the film, there's a Marlon Brando film called The Wild One, and that's worth watching. And to be able to watch the film and just go, I'm going to go out and I'm going to behave like this guy. I'm going to carry myself in the way that he carries himself. I'm going to look at women in the way that he looks at them. And to really dial into that and to play, to use your imagination to adopt the behaviours, right? It's good to do it, because what it starts to do is it starts to stretch you, and you realise that you don't have to stay stuck where you are. It's shifting your state, playing with your state. And if you look at, I've taken off the board, but the different phases of seduction, whether it's opening or building attraction or going into comfort, they're different states. They're different emotional states. And so if you're not flexible, then you can't lead her through that those emotional states. So for example, let's say attraction is like driving the Ferrari sometimes at 100 miles an hour. So attraction sometimes like that. When you're teasing, you know, you're throwing out little playful banter, you're doing push pull, all that kind of stuff. It's up there. That's not the same gear as comfort when you start to get to know her and you're genuinely connecting. Okay? It's not the same gear. It's not the same pitch. It's definitely not the same gear as seduction. Attraction and seduction are not the same emotional state. And so one of the things of, you know, acting, you become sensitive to shifting the emotional state. So if I'm going to tell something a little bit more serious, I might take it down there and start talking to her on a level that's more calm and more focused on connecting. Okay? Does everyone get, do you see the shift in that? Yeah? And so practicing doing that is a good thing to do. So you can, for 1 minute, you can talk to her. If I meet her and I'm teasing her and I'm with her friends and I might be, you know, doing little role plays and games, and then I pull her aside and say, well, tell me about you. I don't know anything about you. And I just step down. Now I change gear. Boom. Gear shift. Okay? And suddenly she goes, oh, he's dynamic. He's not just this one surface level guy. He's not just the funny, playful guy. He can be serious. He can be empathetic. You know, do you know what I mean? You want to show the dynamics of your character. Yeah. Mm. That answer.
Yeah, that was great. So we're going to open up to questions. For all those who have, I hear like weird phone things, so mute your phones, okay? So everyone take your phone out. And see that little button, that little red thing, click it down, okay? So the red shows. Great. One last thing. You're saying so much great stuff that if we could, I would just go on for another hour, but I won't. So one last thing. You mentioned English skepticism, like that in London there are a certain way. Can you expand on what that means? It just went by real quick.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, it's a personal opinion, but English people, until they're drunk or until the sun's out, They're very kind of closed off in my experience, in my opinion, and cynical. It's kind of cynical. The English are cynical. I'd call the Americans optimists. Everything's kind of possible. It's like, it's great. Oh my God, America, right? They're bigger and better. Come on. Like they're the optimists. You know, Canadians are just nice. every Canadian I meet is just nice, dude. It's just nice.
Have a beer.
Yeah, come on, hey. So that, you know, that's the thing there. And what have I found with Singaporeans? It's really taken me being out here, man. There's a humility here which is very nice. It's very warm. And because, you know, I came straight from LA, which is the complete opposite. Like, everyone's blowing smoke up your ass, or everyone's trying to be something that they're not. And so I find a lot of the Singaporeans just to be just humble and hard fucking working. You know, that's what I found. Yeah. You know, again, it's my opinion. But I do see a lot of guys that need to man the fuck up. I do see that needs to happen. There are a lot of women who, the gender roles are changing. You're getting a lot of women who are, you know, focusing on career and want careers and want to be successful as well. And so we're having to renegotiate the relationships and the gender balance. But that being said, they still need men because they still need the masculine energy. Probably more so now,
yeah,
because the roles have been so blurred. And it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to do to be able to go, this woman's powerful. She's kind of masculine because she's been forced into a masculine role, to go, oh, okay, I've got to sink even deeper into my masculinity and who, and being the man and centering myself and being grounded to give her the freedom and the release that she needs,
mm-hmm.
so she can feel confident to be a woman and be feminine. Know that she does, she can, she doesn't have to make all the decisions. She's in the presence of a man. They need men. They need men. Yeah, that's a major thing that I've seen about the being over here. It's just that I don't see that many, like, kind of outwardly masculine men.
Right. But that's what's needed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's totally accurate. Almost all of my female clients are career-driven women, and they're making decisions all day.
Yeah.
And then they come to me and say, you know, I ask them what do they want in a man. It's one of the first things they always say is, he takes charge, decisive.
Yeah.
He doesn't ask me where we want to go for dinner, you know, because they've been doing decisions all day at work. They want to let go and let a guy lead them.
You got to understand that's a game. It is. I believe, you know, it's opinions, right? But from what I've seen with women, that masculine role is against their nature. And it doesn't feel good on all doing it all day. If they're doing it all day, they definitely don't want to do it in their relationships, okay? And so for a man to approach, for a man to make the moves, for a man to take charge, we need to start doing that. And it's again, I think probably the most helpful thing is small chunking. If I say to you, you got to be more masculine, what the fuck does that mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's such a big, do you know what I mean? It's such a big thing. And so any concept that you hear, think, how do I small chunk that? Let's say, what would you do? Maybe highlight what it means to be a man, what it means to enhance your masculinity. So let's say some of the things that Dee just mentioned. Decision making, having boundaries, strong boundary function. Knowing your standards and your expectations for your life, for the people that you have in your life, okay? Knowing what your truth is. That's another thing. A lot of guys get their boundaries crossed over too easily, yeah? So a small chunk thing that I would probably do is for a week or for a month, even better, but starting every day, learning how to say no. Okay, take your power back. Yeah, I was terrible at this. I kid you not. I don't mean I was just kind of bad. I was terrible with my small boundaries. You know, you got small, medium, and large boundaries, right? Large boundaries I was great with. If you came and crossed me in a way that was a large boundary that was really offensive, I'd knock you the fuck out. Like there was no. Like, no question about it, I'd fight really quick. But if you did something that was small, that crossed me, I'd be like, ah, fuck. That feels uncomfortable dealing with that. I don't really want to deal with it. Ah, dude, fuck. And I'd just sit on it, and it would dwell on it, and it would eat me up inside until you did something again, and I'd get bigger. I'd just get angrier inside, not show it. And then you do something small, and I'd just snap, and you go, where the fuck did that come from? Okay, that's about boundary functions. So calling out small things. So I had to learn to start to own my own space. How I did it was tying, again, small things. Sometimes you go to a shop and it might be a penny change. And because it's only a penny change, they don't give you a fucking change. Okay? Now, that is my decision whether I want to give you my penny or not. It's my money. That's a boundary function. Something as simple as that. I started to go, okay, anytime I go into a shop and they owe me some change and it's a penny and they don't give it because it's just a penny sometimes, I'm going to say, can I have my change? Small thing. And you'll see their brain go, yeah, cool, of course. You'll see that happen and you'll feel, and I felt the anxiety inside. But it started to condition me to stand my ground. Another thing that I started to do was, so I'd be walking down the street. We got Oxford Street in London, which is like the busy, it's like Orchard Road, right? And it's really fucking busy. And I'd find myself going, dodging around, and you got this person coming here, and I'm like, God, there's got to be an easier way to fucking walk. So, what was I doing? Boundary function. I'm walking straight, and I'm making everyone move out of my way. Okay, you can take that too far, and I'm not saying that's necessarily the way to be. But if you know that you're the person who's, oh God, I'm just moving out of the way for everyone else, then you want to train yourself to start standing your ground, to walk. Another thing that I did, if I held the door open for someone and they didn't say thank you, I'd say, you're welcome. And they'll turn around and go, oh, thank you. Because I don't have to hold the door open. I don't have to hold it open. So I started to call people out on things. These are small things that started to condition me internally to start standing my ground. And then I started to build up onto larger things, onto larger boundaries. Does everyone get that? Yeah? So you start small chunking it. But this is, only you know what your sticking points are now, because I'm starting to tell you to highlight what your sticking points are. Only you know what they are. And you, if you're serious about improving, have to devise ways of moving past your obstacles. You can't just sit and suffer in silence. You have to be proactive at making it happen. And if you don't know how to move past it, that's when you start seeking help. Yeah?
That's great. Yeah. I mean, like, when for decisiveness, when I realized it was a weakness that I had, I had to start fixing it, but I didn't know how. But I did notice that one of my problems was when at a restaurant, when I get the menu, I'm going to look through the whole menu so that I make sure I make the best choice.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
do
yeah,
I
yeah.
really want chicken or do I want beef? You know, and then the lady would come by and we're like, oh, give us 5 more minutes. So then I decided from now on, I'm just going to pick anything.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not, I'm not allergic to it or
yeah,
whatever, I'm going to eat
it. Just go with it.
So I was just like, all right, I'll have that.
Yeah.
Let's get it over. And I'll call the lady. In fact, I'll start calling the lady when the menu arrives.
Just comes.
Nowadays, when the menu comes, I say, wait, we're ready to order.
Yeah.
I just make her stand there because sometimes it takes a while to get them. And I just go, okay, that one.
Yeah.
And if everyone's ready, not ready yet, you know, I'll be like, okay, just pick it. And if they're not, just bring my order.
Yeah. Absolutely, because that's, it also makes you look very spontaneous and a risk taker as well on certain kind of like subconscious levels. If you're on a date and you just go, all right, let's do this, and this. She goes, wow, okay, let's do it. It's your, remember I said, the more you can get comfortable being uncomfortable, the quicker you're going to grow, okay? Not having everything planned out, not having everything, and you Asian guys, Asian guys, in general, that I've met a very structured, make great engineers and lawyers as well. I mean, my friend was a fantastic lawyer as well. But great thinkers, really great intellectual minds. But it's a gift and a curse when it comes to dealing with women and being spontaneous and in the moment and free and playing. And you're. I was speaking to a friend of mine about this the other day. You're in Singapore. The society and the community, the society isn't geared towards that kind of free thinking, thinking outside of the box type thing, and then being intuitive and spontaneous. Okay, there's a lot of rote learning and exams and by the book and stuff. And so, the more you can break out of that, it will drastically improve your interactions with women. It will drastically improve it. Yeah, it's like conditioning your brain to think in a different way. That's what I had to do. Like women are more, they seek empathy. Men, we seek the systems, okay? System thinking versus empathy thinking, okay? They're gonna try and figure out how you feel about something and how to give an appropriate emotional response, whereas we're always trying to figure out what's the input to get a certain output, okay? Completely different mode of thinking. So we have to start changing the way that we think and how we interact. It's hard. It's hard stuff. It takes time. But we start small chunking it, then shit starts happening, like what David was just saying. Like, if you just go into a restaurant and just go, you know what, I'm gonna try that. Boom. It's like, have you tried it before? Nah, let's just knock it out of the park. Let's see what it is. Okay? That starts to put you in a state of mind that is more exploratory and experimental. Yeah?
All right. Great.
Cool.
Well, let's thank Versetti. So, thank you very much. That was a very
cool
back talk.
Cool.
You gotta run it.